Hello, and you're all very welcome. I Spray My Mental Health podcast, episode number 17, a Christmas special that will most likely have absolutely nothing to do with Christmas or the baby Jesus in any way, shape, or form. But thanks very much for listening. The number 17, does that hold relevance in my life? Number of my house, which I lived in most of my life. I've seen plenty of football jerseys with the number 17 on it. Here's a Subs jersey, Davey. Get that on you. Sit down there. Make yourself comfortable. I'll call you if I need you. Still waiting on that call. It's the 22nd of December. I usually do this podcast of a Thursday evening. And I was knocked out of sync this week with good reason. It's now Friday, doing this on a Friday, but last night we had the Christmas party in work. The bubble wrap generation, in which we relish. Hotel paid for, breakfast paid for, dinner paid for, lunch, buy your own lunch, keep the receipts. Handed a bottle of wine, I don't drink, that's not the point. Handed a bottle of wine, box of roses and a free razor on my way out. Happy Christmas. Free meal, free shuttle bus, absolutely spoiled rotten. And such are the comforts of life. And yeah, towards the night, we always have good nights, to be fair, but I've been quite settled. Internally, I've been quite settled and quite focused the last couple of weeks. But the announcement of this Christmas party, it's one of those simple things in life that just had an effect on anxiety levels. I got a little bit anxious about it a couple of weeks ago, and it started to fester and build up in my head, and I made this a really big deal. And I don't even know why. And I think it's because I can be quite routined. I like to have a kind of a structure and a routine to my week. And suddenly when you get told, right, Thursday, straight after work, head over to this hotel, get yourself organised, and then we're going to get a shuttle bus up to this place to have your dinner. And then when we're all finished up, we'll get a shuttle bus. But, and I think that was throwing me. It was a thought of being out of control. Not having that, making my own decision as to when I can go and when I can't go. And it threw me a little bit. Nobody's fault. There was no secret underground meeting. In which people said, right, how can we fuck Dave over coming up to the Christmas party? I'm not that important and never will be, but that would be fucking deadly. My God, that would be an ego boost if ever there was one. Put that in your agenda. Nights at the round table, boardroom, meeting, a couple of weeks before the Christmas due. How could we possibly make Dave O'Connor's life a fucking misery for one night and one night only? But it's not the way. It's not the way. So I was quite anxious about it. And it was grand. And I think it was maybe the first real life example for me to put everything I learned and I continue to learn and study in the life skills program that I just completed and putting it into practice. And that's exactly what I did. I sat down a couple of days ago and said, right, what's the concern here? Where is this anxious feeling? Where are these feelings coming from? Okay, I feel a little bit out of control. Why? For the reasons I just said. I maybe feel like I'm being forced. And I was like, is my hand? And what it boiled down to was just writing down simple questions and answering them. Is my hand? Am I forced into this? Do I have to do it? Is it against my own will? And the answer is, it's not. It's absolutely not. And I just walked off that. It was like if I rang my boss and said, listen, I just have a little bit of an issue with that. I'm a little bit anxious at the prospect of just having to sit in a bus. I don't drink, as I said. I said, is it okay for me to drive? Yeah, no bother, Dave. And that's what I did. I just made the decision to follow them up to the venue we were going to in the car and then drive home then at my own leisure. I'm like fucking Cinderella, midnight, and I turn into a pumpkin. I can't hang around too much longer. I don't really do late nights. I just can't fucking handle them. I just know. 12, half 12, that's the cutoff for me. So, but anywho, that's what I did. I took control of the situation. It's really simple. But again, I think that's the very point of this podcast, to talk about what sometimes can be the quite severe and extreme end when it comes to mental health and mental illness discussion, to the really, really simplistic and trivial issues such as I don't want to get the fucking bus to the Christmas party because I'd feel out of control. And some people listening to that may understand that on another level, on a similar level of another situation that they may have found themselves in, whether through work, sports, your social organisations, or whatever it may be. Where the fuck was I going with this? That's where I was going with it. That was the point of the story. But anywho, went along, got to the hotel, room me own. It was fucking marvellous. Little gym room at the hotel. No excuses. I got a little bit of a workout done. Went up and had a fucking hot bath in the room. As I was going on to get nowling. A few candles around the bath with Q102 playing in the background. Sure, why wouldn't you? That's not true, by the way, just in case anyone's passing judgment. But I was quite relaxed, and there was another spanner in the works. Having sorted that little first world problem out, on the way, I lost my bank card. Left it in the machine in one of the Tesco stores I was in, having bought a couple of presents. I hadn't taken money out. Obviously, we're heading out, and I just found myself in this fucking mini panic mode, and I pulled a little hissy fit on my own in the room, and I was like a child who's fucking wanted to take the football and go home, and the rest of the kids didn't have a ball to play with. I was going on like an owl one, if I'm perfectly honest, and the same feelings arose. I kind of catastrophized the situation. For fuck's sake, this is always happening to me. This is always happening. I hate when this guy, Jesus, unbelievable. And same thing, life skills, CBT, taking control of my thoughts and my feelings and just examining the situation for what it is. And so really, hang on there a second, Dave. This always happens to me. You lost your bank card at a busy time at Christmas where everything's a little bit hectic. I said, does this always happen to you? Specifically, do you always leave your card in the machine? And the answer is no. And in fact, it has never happened to me, ever. I've never lost my bank card in a poxy machine in a shop. So I was like, right, so there you go. It hasn't happened before. It was just an accident. Because I was a little bit distracted of the fact I had to be somewhere at a certain time, I had to get certain things, and plus I was just on my lunch break and work. I still had work to do, so I was just a little bit distracted. Lost my concentration, picking up whatever I had bought, and I left it behind. That was the reality of the situation regarding catastrophizing what was going on. So, right, what is the worst thing that could happen? Bear in mind, there was fuck all money left in my account. If someone got a hold of the card, I think I'd already used €30 contactless. So nobody could do anything unless they went home and wanted to book a flight to fucking Dubai, which there wasn't enough in my account to do. So it was grand. Worst case scenario, somebody would have tried to buy something with a minimum amount of funds in the account. They wouldn't have gone anywhere. So that was the worst case scenario. What am I going to do about it? So, right, again, just the thought process, analysing the situation and asking the questions that are going to help the situation. So, right, what am I going to do with it about the situation? Really simple. Rang up Ulster Bank and cancelled the card, ordered a new one. Sent in the thing on the app where you can get the emergency codes to take out some money for the weekend. And that was that. It was grand. The situation solved itself. Everything was okay. And it was great. So I ended up having a great night. Good crew. There's a good crew of us that work together. We're a tight enough team. We've worked together for probably 7 or 8 years. No, that's too long. 6, 7 years. And we'd only see each other because we're on our own throughout the working day. You'd only see each other once a month. But we all get together. We generally have a good bit of crack. And we ended up having a great night. They brought us up to Johnny Fox's pub up in the mountains, middle of nowhere. And we lived up to the stereotype with Irish dancing and trad music. And it was great. Everyone was in good form. Everyone was relaxed. And it turned out to be a really good night. I had nothing to worry about. So there you go. And I had a fucking marvellous sleep. Left 10 past 12, a little bit past midnight. But it was all right. I made it home. I didn't transform on the journey back. In bed at 12:30, had a great sleep. Got up, back to the gym, into the meeting. Everything was great. It was fucking marvellous. Nothing to worry about. And that was that. So yeah, here I am, Friday night, wrapped up work, really relaxing in a good place, and I'm doing my podcast on a Friday night. That was the point of that story. 10 minutes in, the world's most boring story about my Christmas party, but yours is done now. So so thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Good luck. So I wanted to talk actually quickly just on last week's episode. I didn't really push it much that much. I usually put one or two kind of posts up, whether it's on Instagram, just to sort of let people know it's out there. I'd follow that up with a post on Twitter. Again, I don't really use Twitter much, but then I throw one up on LinkedIn as well. And just sort of put it out a couple of times during the week, and just extend it can help in extending the audience. But I didn't really push last week's. Just because I was just relaxed about it, and it was grand. I always say it makes no difference to me if one person listens to this or 1,000. It's just a means for me to put my thoughts into action in a creative medium that is podcasting, and that's why I do it, that's why I enjoy it. And I'll see what way, when I put this out tonight, I'll see what way I go over the weekend. I might push this one a bit more, I might not, it's grand. But regardless, anyway, it was a couple, the people who did listen to last week, I got a lovely reaction to the spoken word pieces that I read out. If you didn't hear the episode, I read out a couple of pieces that I wrote from a couple of years ago. I do a lot of poetry, a lot of spoken word pieces, a lot of which I'd never really share, but there's a couple of pieces I have shared, and they've been put up on different websites, and I've done a couple of YouTube videos as well, and read out two pieces last week. One was a piece I wrote about Conor McGregor ahead of one of his big fights a couple of years ago, and another one was the one I spray my mental health, in which his podcast is named after. And I got a lovely reaction to it. People really, really enjoyed it. Said it was quite refreshing. Obviously the content, it was a little bit different as to what I've put out there before in the previous weeks. And in a really positive note, people have said, do it a bit more often. It's creative, it's original. It's not just an opinion piece of a film or a book or something I've seen. It's something that's coming from within. And people seem to really respect and enjoy that. So yeah, nice one for that. I will definitely do it again. I won't go overkill though. I won't do it again this week. But maybe I will. That's the beauty of the podcast. That's how it evolves. That's how it grows. I'm still learning on this. And just learning what works for people and what doesn't. If me reading out a fucking poetry piece once a week for a bleeding 10 minutes is what works for this podcast, that's the direction I'll go with it. Great. So my plan for this week, I did actually have a plan, and it's something I did highlight several weeks ago. It was something I did want to talk about. Again, just looking back over the year 2018, I've done some fucking great stuff, some quite extreme, some quite simple, all quite enjoyable. But one undertaking from July that I wanted to bring up was the night I went out to Bray on a school night for my micro adventure, for camping overnight, but getting back in time so I could shower and get ready and get into work for 9 o'clock the next day. So micro adventure, I don't really know what you'd call it. Well, how a micro adventure? It's pioneered by a gentleman called Alistair Humphreys, he's basically just a traveller. He's a walker. He's an adventurer. An English guy. He's walked around the world. He's cycled around the world. He's just done all sorts of crazy stuff. He's done mad stuff. He's just done a lot of sort of crazy adventures, and is at one in nature. But a big thing, he calls it a 9-to-5 adventure. That's a lie. It's a 5-to-9 adventure. So basically cutting out the excuse of time as a means of not doing something, and as a means of having an excuse. And as I spoke before in this podcast, Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art, we will look for as many as 60 odd excuses not to do something, and time is always the top of that list if we ever go through it. So with your 5-to-9 adventure, you basically finish up work, grab your sleeping bag, grab your tent, bit of grub, and head on your way, find a nice spot to camp, and enjoy your night, and then pack up and head back and go to work the next morning. And when somebody asks you in work, did you do anything interesting last night, it's a bit more original than saying, you know, yeah, I watched a match, or I went to the cinema. And So a friend of mine did it a couple of years ago with a group of lads, and I kind of bitched out. I made the excuse a few years ago, and maybe just I didn't have the headspace for it, but I didn't proceed. I left it be, and the guys who did it ended up having a great night. So just I was still on a bit of a buzz and a bounce from the marathons, and my whole notion with doing something like this was just no excuses. So I gave 3 weeks' notice. I boxed off a Tuesday night and I said, that is it. I said, it's penciled in, it's in the diary, it's in the calendar. No excuses. No excuses. I said, this is the adventure. And I suppose even saying adventure, it sounds quite vast. That's like the crash of a 40-foot wave. And, you know, that's the scale of cloud-tipping mountains, jumping off a plane from 30,000 feet. But it isn't true. The vastness of the adventure is what's inside you. And adventure, it isn't sized. There's no size in it. It's only measured by the pulse, by your presence, and by your experience. And in doing this, like that sense of wonderment, that the sense of wonderment I got in doing it, like it wasn't new. It was nothing new. It was just something that I kind of rediscovered from childhood games, or just going off somewhere different that you'd never been before, somewhere you hadn't been in years, and just dusting yourself off and just going for it. And that's exactly what I did. And I mean, look, there was no qualifier for this. There was no barometer to signal what adventure was. It was just an emotional engagement for me to just find myself for one evening, and a new experience to just fucking enjoy myself. So micro-adventure, it sounds more scientific than it actually is. Look, it was an escape. It was quickly over. It was, you know, there was no big planning. There was no holiday requests. It was just, Nike, the fucking swoosh. Just do it. And no excuses was the big thing. So when the day itself came around, I hadn't got a sleeping bag. I didn't own a sleeping bag, and I was in work, busy enough and work. I was like, jeez, you know, oh, don't have a sleeping bag. Maybe I'll leave it, you know. I was like, hang on there a second. The shop I was in, went around the corner, it was a fucking sleeping bag for €5. I says, that'll do. And I had only bought the tent a week previous. The tent was £12, one man tent. That's all I needed. So the adventure cost me €18. That is not fucking right. 5 and 12 is not 18. Sweet mother of divine Jesus. Hang on there, I'll get the abacus out. €17 is what the adventure cost me. So despite the fact it was planned, it was still quite spontaneous. And I just wanted this attitude of kind of this sort of conscious carelessness about what I was doing. So my decision was, get home from work, have me dinner. And once everything was settled at home, 7 o'clock, I went on my way. It was the middle of July when I did this. Weather was still fantastic. It was a beautiful evening. Out I went to Bray. So my plan was to get up at the top of Bray Head, camp in Bray Head for the night, and get up, see the sunrise, and then head me merry way back across the M50 to Coolock, and just be home before there was traffic. Get myself showered, as I said, get myself ready and get off to work. fully in the knowledge I'd probably have a crap night's sleep and be knackered, but I'd feel a lot more wholesome for the experience. I made it out to Bray about 7:45. It was a busy evening because the weather was so good. It took me a while to find parking. And I found me out in Bray. And my option was to park in their driveway or in around their estate. But I said no. I said if I go out there and knock in, I'll end up chatting. I could end up procrastinating. It could get dark and I'll decide not to do it. And as well as that, I know for the fact that these guys, they would have known where to go, where not to go, giving me advice and what to avoid and all that type of stuff. And I didn't want that. I didn't want any instruction for this whatsoever. I just wanted it to be me figuring it out as I went. So found parking, checked the timing, made sure there was no clamping and operation, because that would have ruined the night before it even started. So it was grand. Got myself organised, head on up the pier with me bag, rolled up yoga mat to sleep on, and yeah, it was fine. Just had my rucksack with the tent attached to the bottom of it. I had my sleeping bag, I had a bit of food, I had my book, I had a notepad and a pen, and I had a torch, had my inhaler, need that to live. and it was fucking great. There was a lot of excitement. I was apprehensive. I was a little bit nervous. But I think the curiosity outweighed the nerves. I looked like the world's most fucking amateur camper. It was like your 7-year-old child came in and asked you, how do you dress up as a camper? And you dressed them, and this is what they look like. But I've said it before, and a big part of the lesson for me and in my personal growth, my own journey, is that nobody cares. Nobody gave a fuck. Dave O'Connor was walking along the pier with a fucking yoga mat under his arm and a tent in the other arm. Nobody cared. People were just enjoying their evening. So, climbed up Bray Head, was sweating buckets. It's a deceptive climb, Bray Head. It's nice, it's pleasant, but it's quite deceptive. It's steep enough and there's a bit of work in it. It's probably about, I'd imagine it's about a, from toe to tip, it's probably a 40 minute climb. Maybe I'm overselling that, maybe. It would be half an hour anyway. And on a warm evening, I was sweating buckets by the time I got up to the cross. I took a few moments at the cross. As I said, it was a really clear evening. And I just sat there, nice and peaceful. There were still plenty of people around. I stayed for about 15 minutes. Probably had something to eat. Sounds like something I do. Took a few pictures. And by then, I could see people were starting to drift away. Some were starting to go down. And I started to get a little bit nervous. I was like, oh, soon you're on your own here, pal. I said, right, I better make a move here, because if it started to get dark and I was looking for a place to camp out, it could be awkward if I can't see properly. So went away around the back. You come across, there's a picket fence and a steel gate. And it's funny again, just how your mind is almost looking for an outlet, looking for a way to get out. And the first obstacle was, there was a sign on the gate, a red sign, this tick red lettering kind of, I remember the wording, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it wasn't very clear, and I wasn't sure. I was like, can I go in here? I was like, am I actually allowed to go through this gate? And I wasn't sure. I was like, am I trespassing going through here? I hadn't seen anyone else go around. And I was like, of course. I said, people walk from Bray to Greystone through here all the time. I'd say, of course I can go through. And I said, no, maybe you're not. And again, this is just how my mind was working. I was so unsure. I was so naive to it, so inexperienced. And that was the beauty of it as well. And a part of me, just for that split second, was like, oh, fuck this, I've just got home. And I said, no, I said, stick to it. This is what it's about. I said, just overcoming obstacles. And it was grand. I said, right, just climb the gate and fucking go walking. And that I did. And within 2 or 3 minutes, I saw a man with his dog heading back the other way. He'd been on his walk, said hello, wished him well. And again, same thing. He knew, look at this fella's probably camping for the night. And it was fucking grand. It was grand. There was no big issue. So I wandered up and down. I didn't want to go too far. But just because I knew in the morning I'd have to head on back. It would be 40 to 45 minutes by the time I got back to the car, and another 40 minutes drive home. So I needed to give myself a bit of time just to beat the traffic in the morning. So I wandered up and down a bit. It was mad, actually. There was plenty of cows around, which I wasn't expecting. And even that threw me a bit. That was another little obstacle. Oh, there's fucking cows here. I can't camp here. I can't put a tent up. And that millennial inside me, I was nearly fucking Googling the cows eat tents. But it took a while. Again, I'm going off memory here. This was 6 months ago. But I remember it just took a while to find a suitable place to pitch the tent, because at that time, there'd been plenty of gorse fires just with the heat wave. And I suppose the integrity of the land had been damaged quite a lot. A lot of broken sticks, kind of diseased looking, a lot of black patches. And it did take quite some time to find somewhere. But I wandered back up kind of towards the gate, but I found a nice little spot. It was sort of on a hill. It was hidden. It was just a bit off the trail, hidden behind a couple of bushes and that, which I knew would kill the wind. And I said, right, that'll do. Set myself up. And it was just in time. It was starting to get fairly dark. And that was it. Again, I had a sandwich with me, a bottle of water, read me book before it got dark, threw on a bit of music. I just sat with the tent open, literally just staring out to sea. And it was, what can I say about it? I felt safe. I didn't in any way feel threatened. And I was enjoying the peace. I was enjoying the quiet. You could hear the traffic from the motorway. I couldn't really tell where it was coming from, but you could hear a bit of traffic. It was fucking marvellous. It really was. It was a really unusual, pleasant experience, something I'd never done before. It was clear all night. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. The moon, I don't think it was a full moon, but fuck me, it was bright. It was like a torch. It was fairly bright. There was nothing to compromise my sight to see what was going on. I did a bit of writing just about the experience, some of which I've kind of put together, and I'm reading some of it out here just off memory as well, but I'm reading some of the notes I took out that I had written down, just have them here in front of me. But remember then about 11 o'clock I got up and actually went for a walk in the trail, and it was deadly. There wasn't a fucking soul near the place. It was unbelievable. It was quite a spiritual experience, really. And again, got back, and I remember again, I was just sitting there doing nothing, but I just remember feeling really peaceful and really relaxed and not feeling threatened in any way. And it's funny, this is when I was sitting up with the tent open. It was when I decided, it was about half 11, I said, I'll try and get a bit of kip. I said, oh, my expectations weren't too high. Zipped up the tent, into the sleeping bag, lay down. And with that, once the tent was closed, it was almost like that fear of the unknown. I felt fairly uncomfortable with the tent closed because I couldn't see what was happening around me. So that uneased me a bit. Then I started to feel, I wasn't as relaxed then. And obviously couldn't settle, couldn't sleep. I drifted off probably about, it was maybe an hour later. Slept for about an hour. So we're close to about 2:30 at this stage. I was back up, zipped up the tent, sitting out, looking out again. And it was such a peculiar feeling, just to be alone, nobody in sight, nobody next to near you for numerous miles. It was a really strange feeling. It was this mix of just finding peace and this mix of being lost as well. That I was like, nobody, not really anybody knows where the fuck I am. But I didn't feel, there was never a moment where I felt like, oh, fuck, I'm in danger here. It was just such an unusual experience that maybe had me a little bit unsettled, because it's something I've never done before. I've never camped before. So to go out and do it on my own at the top of a hill on a fucking Tuesday night when I was in school, in work the next day, was just so unusual. And I remember I went back down, I slept again, got about another hour and a half, I think. Got back up there, woke up about just a bit after 4, 20 past 4, and I kind of knew, I was like, it's going to start getting bright now. I said, fuck it, like, I'm up. That was the first moment I had at 20 past 4. I was like, oh, I just fucking go home now, like. But I couldn't do it. I wouldn't have made my way back down the head. I think the terrain is quite rough going down from the head to the pier, and just a pitch black, it would have been quite dangerous. I think even heading back down probably wouldn't be dangerous, but it was grand. I just had to compose myself and again just force myself to relax again, and that's what I did. I think I stuck around till about 5, got up, packed the tent, or made my way back to the gate, up to the cross, and sat there. Sun started to come up, and this went into labour against the horizon, and it was fucking gorgeous. It was worth every bit of unease. It's almost a cliche thing. We talk about the sunrise and just how beautiful it is, and one of those things that everybody should do. It was a gorgeous moment. It was a really clear moment. I could see right across. I could see Wales. That's how clear the morning was, and it made it all worthwhile. I didn't feel the tiredness at that stage. I was still kind of buzzing about it all, probably because I was a bit anxious as well, just the whole experience. Hung around probably 20 minutes again, just sitting by. I was well wrapped up, it was chilly enough at that stage. Made my way down the head, walking up the pier, so that may be 5:30, 5:45 at that stage. Nobody near the place. It was full on bright at this stage. Sun was just breaking through. There was not a sinner down on the pier. It was like the fucking start 28 days later. It was like, I'm the only human on earth right now. And it was worth waiting for. The whole night was worth waiting for, just for that. It was an incredible experience. Done alone, done with no excuses, done with uncertainty, done with unease, done with a lot of me that just didn't want to do it. But I was fucking delighted I did it. And I was really proud of myself, because it's one of those things. I know 2 years ago, 3 years ago, as well, look, I didn't do it with people, but there's no way I would have done it on my own. And it created a wonderful conversation with people. And it's something I have in my head, as something I maybe do once a year as a sort of a spiritual cleanse. And I'll see where it takes me. Anyway, I got home in time for a shower, breakfast, got into work. I actually felt all right in work. I was on a bit of a buzz. And I think that night I slept like a baby. The following night. But what did I learn from it? Well, really simple. The biggest thing was just standing up to my excuses. The capacity and the willingness to go and do unusual things. It's there, it's in us all. You don't have to follow suit and do the most normal things and what's expected of us during the week just because it's a work night. The possibilities are endless. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of time. You know, you just have to have the spirit of adventure and an openness to go and try stuff. And that's what it's about. It was definitely the most... It was the most original thing I think I did. Like even the marathons, obviously there was an extremity to that, severity to it. It was still just a block of marathons. Running wasn't new to me, as severe and demanding as it fucking was for 8 months of my life. But this was just totally original. Totally, in a lot of ways, out of character. It's not something people would say, oh yeah, I can picture Dave O'Connor doing that. But what was interesting about it was when the couple of people I spoke to afterwards, and even that, it's not even something you'd go announcing to a lot of people afterwards, but the couple of people I spoke to afterwards about the adventure, like pretty much everybody was, there's no fucking way I'd do that. Like, you'd be murdered on top of the hill. Like, someone would kill you. And to dispel that myth, the likelihood, like, I know this is quite fucking somber. If I was going to die that night, I would say statistically, I was most likely to die in a car crash in the M50, a car crash on the motorway. There was more chance of me dying in a car crash than actually being murdered at the top of Bray Head. If there were a gang of, you know, kids looking to carry, you know, cause a bit of hassle in the middle of the night, nobody's going to say, right, I know, we'll make the 40-minute trip up to the top of Bray Head, walk 15 minutes past the steel gate. I can guarantee you there's a fella on his own in a tent. We'll go and stab him to death. Not a chance. Not a fucking chance. So I didn't feel threatened by that in any way. I didn't feel threatened by fucking ghosts or shit like that. People were saying the place was haunted. It fucking wasn't. It was grand. The only thing that put me at unease was just the unease of the situation of something completely new and something completely uncomfortable and unusual to me. And it's the fear of the unknown that throws us a lot of times. But it was great. I survived and had a good story to tell. And it's probably not the most inspiring story you'll ever hear, but it was certainly one of the most original things I've done this year. A lot of fun, part of my personal journey, which has given me confidence in myself. And look, I hope to undertake a lot more crazy shit like that heading into the new year. Just quickly check my notes on this and see if there was anything else relative to that evening. I don't think there was. I think that was pretty much it. Alistair Humphreys, 5 to 9 adventure, no excuses, not a lot of money, just go and fucking do it. And and I did find out afterwards, just from someone I know, apparently I wasn't supposed to camp. That was the only thing. I think legally I wasn't supposed to camp where I camped. But look, the likelihood of a farmer coming up in the middle of the night and telling me to move, it wasn't going to happen. And the cows stayed far away. I didn't see a cow thereafter, and that was that. But yeah. That was July. Sorry you took so long to share that story. But yeah, it was a cool night, good experience. And it's nice to reflect back upon it, because I kind of forgot about it. We leave it at that. Episode 17. I've not much else to add. Wish you all a happy Christmas and a happy new year. I'll rock out an episode next week. Have the week off. I'll have plenty of time to do it. Subscribe, share the podcast, tell your mates. If you want anything to be discussed, let me know and I'll do my best to give an opinion on it. But thanks very much for all your support during the year. It's been fucking remarkable. Big plans for next year. Big challenge coming up in April again, which I'm really looking forward to sharing. I think people maybe have a bit of trust in me that I'm fucking crazy enough to carry out what I say I'll carry out. But for now, it's Christmas. I need some food. Enjoy myself, relax. And just be pleased with my work over the year. Thanks very much for listening. Enjoy your weekend, happy Christmas, and talk to you next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.